to the RAP. If you's a real motherfucker, that's the place to be. You know you're never really sure what these dudes will say. Hosted by Zach Amico and Louis J. Gomez for Prez, cause he talks that real shit. When it comes to comedy, man, he's the Joan Jett. Zach holding it down, he's known as a sniper. Got you laughing so hard you might need a diaper. Mondays at noon and every Wednesday too. You got these two coming through to entertain you. Talking to guests and the topics are jamming. Right. And Louis loves giving shit to his producer Shannon. The superstar worldwide, yeah, Amico slamming. And you never know what the PR rattle think is planning. So here we go, yeah, you know we're ready to rock. Because the Real Ass Podcast is about to drop.
Woo! Check, check. Hello, hello, hello. I'm not a rapist. Rape, rape, rape. Check. Rape, one, two.
Well, now I'm keeping that in. Well, obviously, yeah. That's right. We
God
have to start
it.
The
God
podcast.
God damn it.
If you're going to sing your new song, I'm Not a Rapist.
Yeah.
Jamie, I don't mind you doing musical comedy if that's going to be
if
the
that's
content
it. Yeah,
of
yeah.
the songs that,
that is,
you...
will be my opener and my closer.
Yeah. What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
It's a little bit surreal. Jamie Kilstein, for those of you who don't know, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis.
Ugh.
Because you've done the whole fucking to do with everybody, okay?
Yeah.
I've known Jamie for a very, very long time, okay?
You're one of the first people who booked me. You caused this.
Yeah, it's true. I could have probably killed you when I first met you.
Oh my God, 100%.
Saved so many hurt feelings and so many internet trolls a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
But I've known you a really long time, and we were really good friends for a while, and you sort of had a falling out with comedy in general. You know, you started doing a super liberal, political-based podcast, very feminist-oriented, but not just a lefty podcast. It was like hardcore. When you're talking about the types of people who use the buzzwords and,
sure.
you know, the very small percentage of people in the world who are really like... you know, kind of pushing that agenda, I feel like they have a very loud voice on the internet. And I feel like you were definitely, you know, right in there. You were one of those guys.
Well, which again, like when you hear the agenda, just like the base level of like a progressive agenda, it doesn't sound bad. You can definitely like, it creeps up on you when you start going sort of like over the top, you know, because like on paper, it's like, well, everyone, there shouldn't be like, wealth inequality and war is bad and drugs are fine and, you know, don't be sexist and don't be racist and don't be homophobic. And you go, great. All right. And then when it starts like veering like into like retard land or whatever is you honestly don't notice because it just becomes about Twitter and it becomes about like what the argument of the day is.
Right.
And sort of like
you move away from the true, you know, social justice, which that's also a buzzword. And
well,
like,
that was the thing. I
think it has negative connotations in pop culture and in you know, to you know, in comedy. I think the idea of social justice, it seems to be very anti-comedy. But
yeah,
the reality is in the truest form of quote unquote social justice, that is a really good thing.
Dude, I swear to God, the first time I was called that, I literally was like, okay. Like
Thank
I
you.
Felt all like thanks.
I'm a warrior.
Ooh, do I get a horse? but I really like because yeah, social justice should not be a bad term, but like all good things, liberals just fucking ruined it and just drove it into the ground.
It's the select few who take this idea, and then it reminds me of religious people in the 80s knocking on your door and pushing their religious ideas on you, where you're like, dude, I'm at home with my family. Fucking beat it.
Right.
Have your thoughts, have your concepts. And by the way, it's the same thing. It's good. It's based in this concept of being really just and good. And,
sure.
and it's designed to help people. But the reality is, you know, when you start to push it on other people, that's when it becomes annoying. And I felt like what you started doing was you started pushing it on other people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about what happened with you and comedy and you, but for the most part, a lot of the guys you were hanging out with in the beginning, because when I first really, you know, started hanging out with you, the first time I ever hung out with Big J was one of the first times was with you.
Yeah,
it was me,
sure.
You, Big J, Metzger, a bunch of us went to the movies. And that that story always sticks out to me because it was this crazy crew of people that are very different. A lot of people we don't even hang out with still.
Yeah.
And we all just said, fuck it. We you know, whatever our backgrounds were, this is the beautiful thing about comedy in general, is no matter if you're rich, poor, black, white, whatever it was, we all kind of come into this thing and we all kind of get each other. Comedians all kind of, you know, even if it's a 50-year-old woman who just started doing an open mic, she's kind of in the same battle as some fucking dude from the hood
who's
20.
It's your war buddies.
Yeah, and there's a weird thing there where you kind of have this camaraderie. And I felt like you, once you really went down that road, you sort of said, well, fuck it. You know, I'm not... And I listened to you on Rogan, and I listened to you on Doug Stanhope's podcast, and I don't want to beat the same story over and over again.
It's hard not to open.
Of course, but I'll give them the synopsis. You know, you would basically...
Well, real quick, I just wanted to say something off of what you said before I forgot. What's so funny about, you know, when I think about, like, the progressive journalists I hung out with, like, in New York, all fucking white.
Yeah.
The only time I hang out with diverse people, it was when I hung out with comics and then jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, like, liberals will also, like, shit on that stuff, because I remember one night we tried to have, like, we tried to have progressive journalists over to watch UFC, and I thought it was, like, the coolest thing. I was, like, I finally felt like an alpha because I was in the room with a bunch of, like, nation writers who were just, fucking dweebs. But I was excited about it, and I was actually teaching self-defense to some of the journalists from Occupy who were, like, getting, like, fucked up by cops. So, like, my MMA school let me, like, try to, like, teach them how to, like, defend themselves and all this stuff. And they came over and, like, you know, if you've ever been to the UFC, like, the first time I went to the UFC – and, like, Joe got me seats, so I had good seats. I heard behind me some fucking kid, when they started to clinch up, just go, faggots.
No.
And I, like, turned around thinking it was going to be, like I don't know, like, frat guys or whatever. Right. And it was, like, this, like, 12-year-old kid and, like, his, like, nevish dad. And I just, like, looked at the dad and I was like, you got to shut that down.
Wow.
Like, it was nuts. But it's this automatic sort of rush to judgment. What I used to do is, like, you know, anyone at the UFC, as much as I love the sport, who was, like, saying homophobic shit or whatever, you would just be like, they're just, like, Republican, homophobic, like, shitheads or whatever. I have all these liberal journalists over, and the second they started clinching, all these liberal journalists are like, oh, are they gonna kiss? Are they
right.
And that same homophobic shit, and I realized, I was like, oh, no, it's not like a Democrat or Republican thing. It's anyone who was, like, bullied or didn't make the fucking basketball team.
Well, so yeah, and I think you go there, the mind immediately goes there, no matter what it is. I think a lot of people wear their team on their sleeve and they go, oh, I'm a part of this. But the reality is we all kind of go back to whatever our experience was when we were 3 to 6 years old, whatever it is that hurt our feelings, whatever we were called a faggot or fat or, you know, we were bullied or whatever was that moment. That's the thing that you go to that is the most kind of like, your mind will go there, whether you're on what no matter what side you're on, your mind goes there. I say the same thing about racism. I know a lot of people that aren't racist that say racist shit when they're angry in like a real moment of anger.
Huh.
And I think they do it because they know
it's just that, like,
that's the fucking the dirtiest thing you could fucking say is call this guy a spick or a fucking whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think you go, I'm trying to fucking. In saying that, in not being racist and in saying that, you're almost admitting, like, that's the most vile thing in the world you can do.
It's like you're trying to hurt him on an individual. You're not suddenly like, all of your people are the downfall to society.
Right. You're just
like,
trying to
fuck
say,
Ricardo.
What am I going to say to this guy to fucking really make him feel it?
Let
me tell you something, dude. You call a black guy the N-word, he's going to fucking feel it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know,
I feel like your audience is going to get offended that you just said N-word instead of the word.
I only say it if it's...
They're going to be like, Gomez is selling out.
No.
Around Kilsteinies.
Listen to me. We're going to name this episode Jamie Kilstein is a Nigger now, just to prove that I am not getting soft and I will never get soft.
Oh, and then it opens with my rape song. This isn't helping.
Jamie Kilstein's rape song.
Your fucking your listeners can't even. It's not like I'm like, oh, if I sing a funny rape song, I'll get fans, because I already accidentally preemptively blocked all of your fans.
Yeah.
So now I don't even have a chance to like.
You go in and take away that whatever that like algorithm, dude, or whatever
I
that website is that you
fucking have been Googling it. To try to figure it out.
Because it was, what it is I'm assuming, and I don't know, and you could tell me this, but I'm assuming you type in, you know, 3 or 4 names of people that are problem people. And then it blocks
everyone who follows.
Who follows the combination of whatever people. It's not just one person, right? It would probably have to be a few different.
So
like Gavin McGinnis. Somebody follows me, Gavin McGinnis, and Anthony Cumia.
No. You could just go to that one specific person.
Okay, one person.
So
too.
Like, shout out Nick Mullen. Like when he sent his people, I was like, this is a lot of people calling me a faggot. And so if I go to his profile and then hit
click
that
on that
blockchain,
anybody who follows him.
Anybody who follows
really?
Him. If they follow them ironically, if they follow
I almost feel like you should. it should be more intricate than that. It should be follows him, plus has a Pepe frog in there picture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus has hashtag MAGA.
Used the word cunt, does not live in UK.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. It's hard. Like, when you get, I mean, I just don't have thick skin. And when you get, when you're getting that kind of bombardment, man, like, this is the whole thing with social media. I feel like we're on like a million tangents, and I promise I'll ground us. But
no,
when you're getting those like social media just like pylons, it is, especially when like I was glued to that shit for validation, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It was always just refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. But with that pylon, like, no part of you is like, put the phone down. Like, the thing with social media is you feel like all of those people who fucking hate you or who think you're like a predator or whatever are everywhere in the world, because when you're looking at your phone, you bring that shit out on dates, you bring that to the bathroom when you take a shit, you bring that everywhere. And so literally everywhere you go is people calling you a cunt, people calling you a cunt, people calling you a cunt. And
especially when you get addicted to it and you start depending on it.
Yep.
And then you're like, dude, this is everything to me at all times. I had to quit Facebook. For one of the major reasons I quit Facebook was because of that obsession, constantly checking, constantly looking. That's not only just the likes, but it was like even the weird perverse looking at arguments that other people were having that I wasn't even a part of.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. You know, it became this whole world that I was kind of living in. I think Facebook's a really fucking evil website. And I think people spend a lot of time, you know, wasting their time on that website.
Dude, that year I was like in hiding. I was off social media just because I had to be.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that I feel like I actually positively took from all this garbage is like being off social media for a fucking year. Like,
I'm sure it was very refreshing.
My family's like, this is the first time you've seemed connected to us. Yeah. Like, yeah, I actually like started like looking around at like nature. Dude, you go walk outside and you put your fucking phone away and literally just look around at like trees in the sky and shit like that. You will feel high.
Yeah.
Cause you're just so used to just like refreshing.
Well, I got called a hypocrite because I got into an argument with this porn star chick on Robert Kelly's podcast.
I heard that.
And
my favorite part is I listened to it. I think I tweeted you this. I listened to it 2 weeks late, knowing it ended with you and this lady of the night almost getting into a fist fight.
Yeah.
And the first 20 minutes, you are like happy as pie to fucking see this lady.
It's kind of funny.
And I'm listening to it and I'm like, where the fuck does this go wrong?
That's exactly the point that I'm making, actually, because you know, you kind of live by the sword and you die by the sword, right? So the way people are like, dude, you're a hypocrite. When she first came in, you were saying how hot she was and how sexy she was. And
you not allowed to hit hot chicks? Only the uglies?
No. Well, because then immediately when it turned, started calling her a gross pig.
Oh, got it.
So people are like, oh, dude, you're just a hypocrite. You're not actually being true. And I'm like, no, I'm actually being completely consistent. Because when you're dealing with idiot whores, okay, what you're doing is if you're trying to get them happy, what do you do with an idiot whore? You say, oh, look, you look really nice, you fucking idiot whore. You look beautiful. That's what she responds to.
Yeah.
And then when you don't want to make her happy, you want to make her upset, it's the same idiot whore mentality. You say, hey, you're fat. And now she fucking hates you and wants to punch you in the face. So it's super consistent.
Well, this is a good segue to my second number, idiot whore, idiot whore rape song. I just realized I was so excited to come on your podcast and like time to be comedy first. And literally before this, I was like, guys, just put your phones away and look at the mountains. And I'm like, it's like I'm begging to be called a faggot.
No,
like,
it's okay. Dude, I talk about
the blockchain.
Dude, it's different because Legion of Skanks is a little bit different than Real Ass Podcast. We talk about real ass shit on the show. It doesn't always have to be fucking
love Dave and Jay. Like you three were always.
I want to get into that in a second because I want to really quick.
I started listening to Cumtown so you can pass that on to Nick Mullen, who is blocked on my Twitter.
Nick is brilliant.
It's really good. I really dropped the ball. Now, like, I've been going back and like listening to the stuff because if someone fucking hates you, you're not like, I want to go listen to them have talent on a podcast. And this dude I do jiu-jitsu with, I was like, when I told him I was going on your show. And I was like, yeah, and that fucking like Nick Mullen guy, like all that guy did was harass me. And this guy, my buddy Chris, was like, Nick, he's like the sweetest guy. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He made me want to kill myself. And you just forget like Twitter's just, it's just a garbage.
Yeah, look, I'm doing it with Aziz right now. And I want to talk about Aziz in a second. I've been tweeting stupid jokes about Aziz all day.
That Randy joke is one of the best jokes I've ever seen.
I just think it's kind of, to be honest with you, you know, it's kind of part of the culture. I think I'm very disconnected from it. If Aziz was here right now, I wouldn't make fun of him. And I want to get you, I want to get into your opinions on that in a minute. But really quick, you know, let me just kind of wrap up what happened there.
This is just all stalling.
Well, you went on Rogan, you went on Stanhope's podcast,
yeah,
and you kind of talked about what happened, and you went down the path, the political path, because, you know, it was working. You were getting fans. You were making money. And yeah. I get this completely, dude. Yeah. And it's not just you. This is comedy in general, right? I see people, you know, they start doing voiceovers.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, shit, dude, I'm making money doing voiceovers. They never wanted to do voiceover. Mm. They never got into comedy. They never fucking got up on stage that first time to go, oh, I'm going to go talk about a fucking show on HBO now. But it pays the bills.
Yeah.
And it starts to become your identity. You can easily become the voiceover guy or the political guy or whatever it is. You know, it just depends on how important it is to you. I have another friend who got a TV show, and I won't name his name, got a TV show, stopped doing comedy altogether because he kind of just wanted to be famous. He didn't really give a shit about doing stand-up.
Right.
So, you know, it...
And dude, every old interview I did was talking about that. Every fucking self-righteous... Because the thing when you choose politics over voiceover, like, at least if I did voiceover, I'd be fun to hang out with because right. I'd have, like, money and I wouldn't, like, be up my own ass. But, like, with politics... It gives you this air of like, you're not selling out, or if you are, you're selling out for the cause, right? Like, you're being a douchebag for the cause, and you don't, all of my old interviews.
Well, you also immediately have a team. When you're walking around as a comedian, the idea is you're supposed to be a leader. The idea of doing, in my opinion, I think by the purest definition of what a stand-up comedian is, you know, especially if you're into podcasting and social media, you're a leader. You have these people that kind of follow your thoughts and ideas, and whether... They don't have to take it seriously on a political level.
Which you never see that as. Like, you see it as just validation because you're fucking dead inside. Like, I never actually, like, was psyched. I was never actually like, I'm a leader. I'm influence. I was just like, oh, people like me?
Not necessarily a leader in the sense of, like, oh, I have influence. I'm doing things. I don't do shit like that.
Yeah.
But I consider myself a leader. I think I do something good for people by giving them, something to laugh at every single week. I think with the very few things that I can speak about in an articulate way, like, whether it's exercise or if it's little things like podcasting or, you know, whatever it is, I think I can offer a certain amount of insight that not many other people in the world can offer, you know, in a way that's entertaining. And I think that there's something really valuable there. And I think the reason that I have so many people that listen to my shows and watch the things that I do is specifically because of that. But I think with the politics, you can get caught up in going like immediately, like, oh shit, dude, I'm validated. 50% of the people love what I'm doing. I see it happen. I see people tweet political shit all the time that's not even that good, and just because people agree with the message, they retweet it,
say the thing that happened in a kind of funny for a liberal way,
yeah, of course,
and it was just like, oh, Questlove favored it, and like you, and again, because you don't, because to me it was all like for positive things, you don't feel like you are selling out. Like if you read any old interview of mine, it's just like fucking stand up, like ride or die stand up.
Yeah.
Like fuck, like I lost agents and managers because I didn't want to do like commercial auditions and all this stuff. And I was like, I'll never sell out. And then when you're going down this path that like you think, because someone called you fucking Bill Hicks in the UK because that's the only other American comedian they know, you start like writing this, you're like, well, he was political. And then suddenly your political team, like my Facebook and Twitter feed and stuff, it wasn't comics, because comics didn't like me. So it was just the feeds of people in my bubble. And suddenly we're not mad about, you know, income inequality. We're mad because some late night cable host said the word like Indian instead of Native American, and I go, well, that's what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, and it's like, how have we strayed so far away from the core concept, which is like,
end up becoming that elitist people think.
Well,
you
that's
are.
What fucking sucks, right? Because look, all right, my son right now is 5 years old. He's going to kindergarten.
You have a son?
I'm just kidding. And I'm bringing him. Dude, the school is gonna. We really got it broken down to like two different schools, right?
Okay.
Like private. Super fucking liberal. You know, they asked his mom in both interviews. Luckily, I'm not doing the interviews.
Yeah.
But they asked his mom in both interviews. Was like, well, tell us about your beliefs in social justice. What are the most important causes to you? It is a really, really big part of admissions. And they're, you know, they have like little, you know, second grade kids going out to like rallies for like gay rights and shit. And at first, I was very turned off. Yeah. At first, I was like, I don't even like the idea of my son thinking about sexuality. I think he's too young to be concerned with what gay or straight or trans or anything means yet. I think he's there's a time for that.
He's supposed to fucking eat food and shit.
He's supposed to fucking play with Legos right
now. Yeah.
Simple as that, right?
Be an idiot.
Dumbledore's gay. Cool. I don't give a fuck who Dumbledore's fucking, okay?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to my child because he's not thinking about fucking. Yeah. He's thinking about playing,
he's
right?
He's not like, where's the Dumbledore fanfic?
Yeah, exactly. So for me, but then I started to really look at it. And they started to break it down, and they went into with the kids who were a little bit older, and there was, I think it was a seventh grade class, and they the whole curriculum, everything from the math to science to social studies, everything was based around this mock government. The whole curriculum, the whole year.
Huh.
These kids fucking got dressed up, and they were interviewing the kids, and the one girl was talking about, she was like, yeah, I could learn about a bill. She was like, I know everything about this bill because we're going to get it fucking passed. The way this fucking bitch spoke, she was like, we're getting this passed. Like, it was another level. And then they explained how they kind of broke everything down from like math to, and it's all within kind of this whole thing. And they had kids that were really debating the points, major issues like gun control. And I was like, you know what? No, I want my son to understand the finer points of these things. I want him to understand both sides of it and then make his decisions based off of real data that he collects and things that really affect him in a way. Just because you're around people that, you know, may think a certain way or they may, you know, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be brainwashed. I think when you encourage that sort of creative thinking, I think it encourages you to actually have a real opinion for yourself versus every other kid who goes to a fucking school. Whatever their parents or teachers say, they just go, cool, that's what I agree with. Whatever headline they read on Facebook, that's what they agree with.
I'm a Democrat because my parents were Democrats.
Of course.
If I was raised otherwise, like, and I think the only reason I'm like not a total piece of shit is because I grew up poor. I think about that with, so like now I've been listening to, there was just some dumb fucking article. After I went on Rogan's that I haven't been stoned enough to talk about yet, where it was like from Brooklyn Vegan, and it was like Jamie Kilstein rebrands as anti-feminist. And I was like, did you fucking pieces of shit even listen to like the interview or just assume that because I was on Rogan and I was like, I didn't abuse anyone that I'm fucking anti-feminist.
Right.
And it was so fucking lazy and so dumb, and lazy dipshit comics like ran with it because it was like the week that the Louis news broke and they were just fucking stalling, having to call out Louis, someone with actual power. So they were like, oh, look, Kilstein's a sexist. And people were like, who? And they're like, I'm a fucking hero.
Right.
And it was infuriating, but. And I haven't, like, I haven't changed my beliefs. Even on Rogan, we had, like, a pretty dope, like, I would say progressive conversation about, like, police brutality and Islamophobia and all the shit. And so I'm not changing my beliefs because certain feminists don't like me anymore. But, like I was saying, like, listening to you guys or Mullen or going back and listening to, like, the Sam Harris podcast. Like, me and Sam Harris used to be, like, email buddies. And going back and listening to all these shows that I was just sort of told were bad and just kind of, like, accepted it. Because, like, I dropped out of high school. So me being smart or being called smart, I think that had a lot to do with it.
Right.
That was a fucking first for me. Like, I have a real chip on my shoulder about being stupid.
Right.
Like, I can barely read. I have, like, every learning disability, high school dropout, all that stuff. And then you're on MSNBC panels with, like, Pulitzer Prize winners.
Right.
And not just to be, like, the dick joke guy. It feels fucking good. And you also, I was definitely less inclined to, like, challenge people. Because I just assumed I'm probably the wrong one here, right? So anyway, so going back and listening to all these like comedy shows and stuff I blew off, I used to get so mad when people were like, listen to both sides. Because to me, both sides were like, well, Republicans are like fucking racist warmongers and like Democrats are like good, right? And those were the only two sides. But hearing people, you know, just hearing different people talk about feminism or talk about, I mean, God, it's like gun control, like stuff that I was like so adamantly decided on. You go, oh, well, that part of that makes sense.
Right.
And like that part of what I think makes sense. And it's.
Can I say the issue? I don't know exactly how many times you had these conversations with like, you know, just fucking normal people that didn't really have an agenda because I don't have an agenda. Right.
Right.
So what happens is the people on the left, they do this a lot, right? if you don't agree with every single point, if you don't check off every box, okay, you know, fucking, you know, pro gay rights, pro female rights, pro trans rights, you know, anti-gun, fucking, you know, if you don't, every single thing, every single box, right? And all just, not even like.
And not, right away, not even like have a dialogue about it. Just right away, just like, you don't believe that?
If you're off on one.
Yeah.
You're pushed not only on the other side, but you are a fucking Nazi. Oh. You are a alt-right. Dude. You are, you're a men's rights activist.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm going like, wait a minute, hold on. I was raised by all women. I was raised by a single mom, sister, aunt, great aunt, great grandma. I work with mainly women all in my professional life. I have so many women that I work with. I have these amazing, beautiful professional relationships. I think women really balance me out.
You know, murder isn't technically work with, right?
Yeah, that's true. Assault. No, but the reality is like, so what happens is
what so many people were saying about Louis, right? It's like, who employed like that many anyway. Sorry,
right. So, but it's almost you go like, well, hold on, because I don't agree with this one thing. I don't believe that, you know, a man should have his career destroyed because of an allegation. I believe that there should be a conversation at the very least. Now I'm a Nazi and I'm alt-right. Yeah. And then you start to go after you get called enough. You go, oh, you know what, dude? Fuck it. You know what? I'd rather be a Nazi and alt-right and a men's rights activist than these fucking faggots on the other side. And that right there, that moment.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Is where they lose a lot of people. All those people that are in the middle, 90% of the people are all in the middle.
Dude.
90% of the people all kind of like me and my son's mother. My son's mother is a fucking major feminist.
Yeah,
dude, you remember Beatrice? She was a huge fan of yours.
Yeah, yeah.
She reached out to you when you guys were on the show.
Did she?
Yeah, dude. My son's mother was a huge fan of you and your ex.
Yeah.
She would listen to Citizen Radio.
That's so funny.
I mean, like legit real deal. And then I started breaking it down to her one day. I was like, Beatrice, we just kind of disagree on the approach and the words we're using. But if you look at the core belief of everything, we agree on everything.
Well, that's
so why do we get so lost on the words and so lost on like, you know, controlling the left seems to want to push control onto the thoughts of others. And there's no room for conversation. And I feel like the guys that are on the right, they almost welcome the conversation because they seem to be more logical about it. And I think that they know that they can beat them with logic. They know that the people that are on the left are going to eventually talk themselves into a corner where they go, all right, well, you're just thinking with your heart now.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I told the guy who is now in charge of Netflix specials, somebody who probably risked his career originally booking me for New Faces when he used to book Montreal. And I literally, that relationship is done because so liberal dude, like, was the reason I got to Montreal.
Yeah.
I literally think he posted something like, Israel has the right to defend itself. And I tweeted him, I'm like, we're not friends anymore.
Oh,
and I fucking blocked it. Like, at no point, like, wanting to, like, talk about it, but it just gets there, and it's almost like on social media has made it this race to be the most righteous about the as many righteous things as you can, right?
Of course.
So if somebody goes, Rose McGowan is brave for calling out Harvey Weinstein, it's like, what about the black Rose McGowan? And then someone will go, what about the trans black? And what about the, and it just keeps going and going and going. It's like, we get it, guys.
Yeah,
you all know about intersectionality. Cool. Let's like not eat each other, and like we can call Rose McGowan brave without being racist, or we can,
of course,
like,
we can also just look at the fact that like that we don't have to be so divided and we can come together. If you look at any business in this country, right?
Yeah.
People aren't from the same backgrounds. They're not from the same religious beliefs. They're not from the same political beliefs. And they come together and they all work together and they get a common thing done. Whether it could be, I mean, look at any large company. Look at any company with over 100 employees, right?
Yeah.
How do they do it, right? Because there's a common goal there. The goal isn't to come in and prove themselves right.
Right.
The goal is to sell something. The goal is to make something.
Yeah.
The goal is to create something. So instead of the goal being,
you're good at this. Let's all come together.
Exactly. And it doesn't fucking matter what everyone's backgrounds and beliefs and political shit is about, because the truth is all of that adds to the collective good of creating something.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this when you were talking about picking out a school for your kid. Whereas, do you think that like my school and like our generation, like, I'm definitely not book smart. Like, I couldn't do what that fucking little tiny Ruth Bader Ginsburg you met was doing.
Mm.
But I was like, I feel like, and this was a Republican talking point, so I could have never said this before, and it's so minor, but like, man, it also seems like we're raising a generation of fucking coddled pussies.
Yeah.
Like, there was something about that, like, lawlessness where me and you grew up, where it's like, I'm not really book smart, but like, I haven't died. Like, I have that, like, survival instinct. And, like, right. Do you think that, like, do you get scared by putting your kid in, like, such a sort of, like, you know, well-manicured whatever that, like, kids are sort of losing that?
Sort of, but I got to be honest with you, dude. I mean, would I, you know, all that shit, all that fucking street smarts and all the, you know, being able to take care of myself, you know, what has it really gotten me? I don't know if there's any positive that really
I would say this whole network, right? Yeah, I would say that fucking like grit and like,
yes. And it comes from something. Yes. And there's a lot, there's so many things. I don't know if it was growing up poor. I don't know if it was my mom, you know, dying, my dad died. There's all these different million little things that I could sit there and go that it all kind of made me tougher. It all made me work for myself, whatever it is. Right. I would give all of that up to fucking feel normal.
Yeah.
You know? To not feel fucked up, to not get angry. Bobby, we were just leaving Starbucks and I couldn't get an Uber.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm yelling.
Yeah.
Into the air. Screaming. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
but
and
you
I
can fix that now.
And I'm trying. I feel and like I, you know, and I've gotten better. I'm in therapy. I've been on different medications. I've done a lot to try to.
Dude, that carny hustle that like me and you have from like being fucking poor and like being homeless and like I literally call.
I would still trade it.
I go into like carny mode.
Yeah.
But for my boy.
One of the things I said about the one school that we liked the most.
Yeah.
Did we lose video?
No.
All good. Do you have that vape pen still?
Oh, yeah, if you bring my backpack or
sweet.
Put the mic down, just get it.
No, it's all good. Yeah, Bobby grabbed for you. It's all good. One of the things they said about the school, which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
They said out of like the kids that graduated from this one school, it's like an eighth grade graduation. They graduate in the eighth and they place you in a private high school. Is they have the nicest kids out of like all the kids like I guess interviewed for high schools, like the friendliest and like nicest and most well adjusted. And that's just nice. What do you want me to say?
Like, dude, that's nice. No, I would take that.
Yeah, dude, look, I don't want my kid to be a pussy and get his ass kicked. You know what I'm saying? But if I had to choose one for him to grow up the way that I grew up be a fucking nice kid and just to deal with a higher class of people that communicate in a different way, that's really, for me, the reason I want to send him to a nice private school and the reason that we're going to struggle to pay to send him to this place is because, you know, he's going to walk out of this with relationships that are going to last the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And I think when you are dealing with a higher class of people, and I don't mean just money wise, because there's poor people that go to the school as well. There's financial aid.
No, you mean strictly
the poor
white
kids that are going to this fucking school. Yeah. Let's get real, dude. Their parents give a fuck more.
Yeah.
Simple as that, dude. And when you're sending this, he's spending most of his time not being raised by us starting next year, dude. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't have a choice. Oh, people, don't let the school raise your kid. You got to raise your kid. Of course. But he's spending 40 hours a week with them versus, you know, 26 or 30 hours a week awake with us. So there's no way except for making sure that he's in an environment.
Well, and you could give him that balance. You know what I mean? Like, I think that'll be the difference with your kid is like, if you can teach him your hustle shit at home
to rape,
and then he can get to rape.
Could just teach him to rape at a really young age.
And then the rich school can teach him how not to get caught raping.
Exactly.
Then you're set. You got the perfect rapist.
Perfect. That's how those dumpster rapists come about. It's literally the perfect storm of a good father and a good school.
People always talk about how the nuclear family affects how good of a rapist you're going to be. And I've always said, one mother, one father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll get a fine rapist. But these rapists being raised by single dads, they're just like going to like fucking rape the waitress in the back of Arby's and like think you're not going to get caught. It's like, you're going to get caught, homie. You just needed a better education.
Oh, Jamie, I like the fact that you can sit here and joke about rape now.
Oh, it's so fun.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
I want to talk about a couple of these things that are happening right now that are pretty big news. You know, Aziz Ansari is the next big comedian. It is a comedian thing. It's not just a dude or an A-list
going after.
I don't know what it is about. Why do you think it is that it's comedians?
There was that war that I was a part of. I was a casualty of where suddenly like liberals really ran with the like humorless stereotype and it became liberals versus comics.
Yeah.
And it started kind of with Tosh. I mean, Jesus Christ, dude. Thank God. Blogs weren't around like back when it was like R grade or like,
oh, I've said it all, dude. Danny Tanner, he would have never gotten, he would have never been on Full House.
Bob Saget,
he was a filthy comic who was saying crazy shit in comedy clubs.
Yeah,
there was no cameras, there was no blogs, there was no fucking feminist bloggers out there.
Yeah,
so yeah, he became America's dad. And it should be that way. I don't know. What do you want me to say? No, who gives a shit? He makes some jokes. He's saying some dirty things. You know, there's a real place, and it's a weird thing because it seems to be, you know, comedians particularly are under attack. And I think maybe it's because we are making light of these things. You know, because look, I'm tweeting about Aziz, right? I've tweeted like a dozen things about Aziz, right? Yeah. And one of the things in this story, and if you guys haven't heard about it, Aziz Ansari was...
Well, I mean, I think your audience reads the established newspaper, babe.com, right?
Yeah, of course they do. But apparently, and by the way, I called this out 3 weeks ago on this show. I knew that Aziz was getting...
Did you?
He was the next one. I know it. When TJ broke...
That I heard.
I knew that Aziz was coming next, because what happens is the industry, agents and managers and everybody find out about it first, because they're trying to play, you know, they're trying to put out all the fires and they're trying to save the relationships. So months beforehand, you find out they're putting together these articles and these New York Times things. So I heard about, I might have even heard about Aziz when I was on the Impractical Jokers cruise.
Whoa.
Because Louis, that was the week before Louis came out, and everybody on the cruise was talking about it. I was like, yeah, Monday, the story's coming out on Louis. Jesus. And everybody was talking about it. It was just a known thing. There's two or three other big comics right now that I'll tell you off air. And
thank
the only-
God. This is the first, every time I hear a fucking podcast and Kreischer's like, I'll tell you off air. And I'm like, God damn it. I just want to know who it is. That was the
first
time.
I'm going to tell you. And the only reason I won't say the next one, the same way that I fucking, because this person, a friend of mine, told me, and he was like, I don't say anything. I don't want you to say anything. So I'm not going to say who it is, but is a fucking surprising one.
Oh, boy.
Really surprising one. Louis, another comic.
If you weren't taping and doing audio, I would be like, shut everything the fuck down.
Oh, I'll type it right here.
Okay, great. No.
Yeah.
The second you typed the first letter, I was like, oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Right. I'm such a big fan.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. And I guarantee it's not even anything fucking crazy. All right. Let me talk to you.
Well, this is the Aziz. Yeah.
Because you are still the same dude. You are. Here's the thing. At your core, you're still tweeting, you know, feminist stuff. You're still tweeting, you know, liberal stuff. You still believe, you're still side.
I'm definitely not tweeting feminist stuff.
Well, I forget exactly. I saw a tweet the other day that I was like, okay, Jamie's still definitely a liberal. He's definitely still on that side.
Yeah, I haven't gone like full.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you're being less phony now. That's just the truth.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean,
I think your ears are, and all bullshit aside, and we'll forget the fucking past.
Yeah.
I think you were being a fucking huge phony for a few years of your life. That's what I think. The Jamie Kilstein that I knew, that I would hang out with back in the day, we'd watch UFC events, we'd fucking talk shit, you'd come on the podcast. You were just a fucking dude, and you were always trying to be funny, and you always respected great comedians.
Yes. That's a big thing, man.
That was lost in you, and I believed more that was you than the Jamie Kilstein that I didn't really know
years.
Dude,
I've been like wrestling with this ever since this happened, and like I'm figuring it out in like real time with you guys. But like even when we were friends, my act was still, it was all like gay marriage, anti-war shit, pro-drug stuff back then. Like I was always liberal. I just wasn't a douchebag about it.
Yeah.
And you know, was trying to find the funniest way or the filthiest way to deal with it. Like I said, all of my fucking interviews were like shouting about censorship.
You were very dirty too.
Yeah,
you were very like
filthy.
Well, it was almost like I almost feel like back then it was almost a little more like it felt a little like anarchist. It felt a little anti-establishment. It felt anti-government.
Yeah,
you know, and then it became like, no, we're with the government on one side. It was there was a weird shift there.
Well, the shift was literally like
Obama.
Well, no, it was comedians stopped liking
me. I mean, even just like the, just on that side, just in general. I think when Obama came to office, then everyone was like, cool, we can like the government now. And it became a thing where the younger people started going like, oh, yeah, we're on the side.
He plays basketball.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Bizarre. It was like, it was always for me, it was always like, fuck the government, but fuck the teachers, fuck the establishment. Just because I listened to heavy metal music and I liked the bad guys in pro wrestling. It was just who I always was.
The Shawn Michaels heel days.
Yeah, dude. Oh. I'm sorry, dude. When the Undertaker beat Hulk Hogan, I was like, oh dude, Hulk Hogan. But then I went, That's pretty fucking
awesome. That's pretty
awesome.
Fucking dope, though,
that's
right?
That's pretty awesome, dude. The fucking, the dead man.
That
was fucking awesome. Yep. And I remember that was actually a moment in my life when I was a kid, when The Undertaker beat Hulk Hogan, where I shifted a little bit. And it was like almost like I came into manhood a little bit. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. That's actually cooler.
NWO,
cooler than, like, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. When NWO, like, stormed WCW, that was like, that took over my life.
No, it was so cool.
I was just like, oh, you just go in and fuck shit up.
Yes, of course. And that's what it always should have been. And then for some reason, you know, younger people started getting like, it's very weird. Everybody right now is a political side, whereas I'm going like, wait a minute, shouldn't everybody under 30 be saying, I mean, fuck, dude, the government?
I honestly wish that I could say it was, because I still got in. I think the reason that I'm not back on Conan is when I did that like anti-drone rant, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was during Obama. It wasn't during Bush.
Right.
Like, I think my opening joke was talking about like Obama and torture and shit.
Right.
So I wish it was as righteous as like a political switch, but I think it kind of goes back to what I was talking about before about feeling dumb, where like I felt like I fucking failed as a comic, and I'm like, all right, well, comics don't like me. But these people like me, and these people stand for things I believe in. Like, they're like a little less crass with the language. I'm like, I can tone that down or whatever. And then suddenly you're the funniest guy. Like, you're the funny guy among like liberals. Like, it's like,
which is a very anti-comedy thing. You never want to be the funniest guy.
No.
You want to be the guy that is struggling to keep up with everybody else.
Like, fucking, and that's like on their toes.
That's how you fucking get great, dude. And when you hear about the Comedy Cellar table, that was what's beautiful about the Comedy Cellar table, is because it was a system where you kind of would sit in the back, like you'd be two rows back from all the fucking big dogs there, and you just fucking try not to be noticed, and you just try to take in as much as possible, and you would always try to hang out with people that were bigger and better than you to make yourself better.
And bad
comedians don't do that. Bad comedians are always hanging out with unfunny people who are or comedians that are less funny than them.
I feel like the year or two I was getting good was when I was like opening for like Stanhope or Marin,
right,
like guys like that. But I just felt like I could never hang with those guys, and I didn't learn what you just said until, you know, all I've been doing is jujitsu and like Muay Thai and shit this year, since I haven't been doing comedy, and not that I was doing comedy, but and you know, that attitude, like, that's how you become a good fighter. That's what you tell everybody who's on their first day, and there's like, I just got the shit beat out of me. It's like, yup, like, I didn't tap anyone until I got my blue belt.
If you're the fucking king, like, shit in your MMA gym, guess what, dude? You are not going to be able to fucking go compete, because you're not learning, you're not expanding, you're not getting better. And if you're not getting better, dude, the sport like MMA is just evolving year after year. You can watch in 5 years, go watch the average fighter 5 years ago, five years before that. Watch the evolution. You could just watch it in the way they move.
If you're going to sparring every day and at least like, and you don't get your ass kicked a couple rounds, then it's like you're only picking the guys you can beat. You're doing your fucking go-to move like over and over again.
Because I don't want to lose the thought that I had before.
Babe.com.
Yeah. So you're still the same dude. I don't think your core beliefs, I don't think they changed. No. And I don't think they ever really have changed. With these scenarios, Aziz, TJ, Louis CK, I was even kind of pussyfooting it around it for like a day with Louis. I think it was like a one day I was like, well, I guess it was a little creepy. And then I kind of smacked myself in the face and splashed water on my face.
Everybody saying it or equating him to like a Weinstein.
It's
or something.
Crazy, dude. Yeah. I don't see any people in the mainstream with the exception of like Chappelle.
Yeah.
Chappelle was the only one who kind of kept it fucking real.
Dude.
But here's the deal. Ready? 99% of the people in the world don't give a fuck that Louis jerked off in front of a few chicks.
Oh, I can say right now, I still hang out with people who are like in like established Democrat circles and stuff. And everyone's like, me too. These women are fighting back. Like, I'm going to tweet my support. Yo, this shit's getting fucking nuts, right? Like, women, men, all of them.
Women, men,
dude,
feminists,
you
liberals.
Know how many private emails I'm getting?
Of
where they're
course,
like,
dude.
And it mainly started with the Al Franken. Yeah, people kind of tiptoed around the Louis thing because it was, no matter if you what you think of it, like it was more of like a kink, and it was more of this, that I think we're just such a sexually prude country that,
but
like, nobody wanted to be like, I'm defending the
and
guy
what the fuck
who's...
happened to these feminists? These bitches were out here 8 years ago and going, yeah, fuck everyone, let's just fucking get off on each other and fucking squirt in each other's faces.
Yeah,
that was the feminist mantra for like fucking a while, dude.
It was a very long mantra, and I think they had to like black out squirt, but but
probably
yes,
that was the only word though. They didn't really censor themselves that much.
No,
but it was really about you know discovering your sexuality, and you know, then when it's a man, you know, exploring his own sexuality, and dude, for what Louis did, I'm sorry, dude. At this point, I'm just like, I can't even see what's fucking wrong with it. I literally can't even see what's wrong. If I have to choose a side between good or bad,
yeah.
I say he did good. He's an adult. He wanted to come. He asked some women if they want to watch him come. What do you want me to fucking say here?
Yeah, it was really, I was definitely surprised that it was, that it took him fucking down. Like, when I originally heard that story, I was doing some like festival that he was at, and it was the only time I've ever seen Louis bomb, because it was this festival in Ireland where you, no matter how famous you are, the first night you open and the second night you close. And Louis was in this theater of like 800 people, and he was, I think, opening for, it might have been Des Bishop, who right. now is a New York guy. And Des Bishop had this like huge like young girl following, and Louis was like, kids, right? I'm like, having kids, and people, she just bombed. And I've never, and he just, it was so fucking interesting, because I'm used to like, you know, Attell or Doug tearing into the audience. He just like perfectly timed, kept going, did his act. Someone shouted, "You suck," and he goes, "Yep, I know." And then he closed by being like, "Thank you for putting up with me," and he left. And like, I remember him like just being like disheveled in the back, and it was so bizarre to see. And then the next night, you know, he fucking slaughtered.
Yeah.
But so anyway, people were talking about it then. This is probably like 8 years ago. And I almost heard it like it was a sweet thing. Like, I heard nothing about, look, you block the door, like, that's one thing. That's what people said, but it doesn't appear that's what happened.
Yeah, no, those girls didn't even say that happened.
No. If you block the door jerking off, it's like, all right, that one's on you a little
doggy,
bit.
Doggy, no, that's fucked up. That's assault.
That's assault.
If somebody tries to leave and you put your hand on the door, fuck jerking off, right?
Yeah.
That's kidnap. I believe that's kidnap.
Yeah.
That's a crime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're holding someone against their will with your dick out.
People think that like I'm gonna defend some crazy shit.
No.
I'm like, no, I'm not on the side of men at all times. I'm against people being blindly on one side at all times.
Which, by the way,
that's specifically what I'm against.
Can I say you when saying people, that right now? Yeah. If I was not on this podcast with you right now, and I was old, unscathed, righteous Kilstein, I would have never heard you get to that part, and all I would hear is like Louis defends Louis C.K., right? Or like the first time I started hanging out with Metzger after all this stuff, actually talking to him about like rape culture and stuff like that, you're just like, oh, you're actually saying mostly feminist shit.
Of course. That's the funny part. Like,
but
Metzger got killed because of that kid Aaron Glazer, right?
Who appears to be a rapist.
Yeah, by the way, I didn't get in trouble. I got put on a list as a problematic man in comedy because I, quote unquote, was a Glazer defender. Wasn't a Glazer defender. Literally talked about it with a gay guy and a chick on my podcast.
Yeah.
Just saying, hey, we should talk. This is an interesting fucking story. If this was a TV show, it would be pretty interesting to look at this guy who was a comedian who was says he did nothing wrong. Career completely gone off of a blind accusation. Nobody knows who the girl is. Nobody knows who it is. Just to not admit that that's an interesting story to explore. I don't give a fuck about this guy. I don't give a fuck about any of the players involved.
I don't want to speak for Metzger. Metzger even was like seemingly more like progressive than that, where he was just like, if this dude is a rapist, the UCB doing a fucking like,
yeah.
How's an improv theater doing an internal investigation?
The problem is Metzger's a fucking lunatic. And when you go on Facebook and you would, he would fucking,
you're like, this is the rantings of a madman.
He's punching the words into his keyboard. And you're like, dude, like, it's the way you approach it.
And then you hear him interviewed and you just go, oh, well, that's a well-reasoned point. Yeah.
But, you know, all of these things, like, I feel like men, we are discouraged from having real opinions on this stuff. Even women are, you know, this is the thing. I know I'm going to get a ton of shit because I'm not taking it very seriously and I'm making light of it. And look, let's just say, ready? Let's say the reality is that this girl truly felt victimized, truly felt as if she was sexually assaulted, right? Truly, truly deep down inside. That's what she believes, right? I look at the scenario. I read the story. I go, it seems like she hooked up with a guy, you know, and it wasn't what she wanted. That's right. The reality was. And we've had those hookups. We've had hookups before. Everybody's hooked up with somebody and been like, fuck, dude, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't like what the fuck happened there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't normally do that. Yeah. To me, reading that story as a mature adult, I look at that and I go, like, yeah, you shouldn't try to ruin a guy's career over you, you know, you hooking up with a guy and you not liking the way that he was hooking up with you. Because that's what was happening.
Right.
You know? But, you know, let's say that she really feels that way. Like, I'm out here and I'm making light of it as a comedian. And I think that's why comedians get shit. Like, yeah. I posted a meme of, you know, Mankind fingering the throat of The Rock. You know, and
I feel like I'm still too new back on the Twitter to start liking only your rape jokes.
Right. Well, these are I went on a good tear here today.
Man, that was I saw it though.
But
I liked it in my heart.
The reality is, like, look, if she saw that, right, and she really was victimized, that would fucking probably hurt her feelings, you know?
Oh yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's not really my job to worry about every individual person's feelings when I'm trying to make jokes and find funny, whether it be fucked up subject matter, whether it be, you know, whether it be subject matter that I would assume that nobody would find fucked up, because everybody's going to find something fucked up.
And that's the thing. And I remember literally every interview I used to do, I would talk about this. I'm sure me and you are the same. Like, we didn't develop our sense of humor because we enrolled in, like, the New York Comedy Club's, like, comedy classes. We developed it because we had a fucked up childhood and it was a defense mechanism, right? Mm. Like, I remember when, like, the police or, like, ambulance was, like, coming for my mom, me and my brothers would be, like, upstairs, and it would be, like, whoever could make the joke first essentially diffuse the situation enough where we could, like, figure out what the fuck to do, right? And so naturally, and now when we get together with my mom and stuff, that's what the jokes are, right? It's like a sad wino mom version of the cellar table where we're all just, like, ribbing her for what happened, and it's dark as shit because that's how you deal with it, right? And so what's so ironic is this is what I stood for. This is all I talked about any chance I got, where it's like, you should be talking about dark things or offensive things because that's how you take power away from it. But then, you know, the second my crew of friends said, well, that's not what we do, I went, okay.
Right.
And that was sort of it. But, like, I really do still believe that. And I forgot that it's like, yeah, I've made those jokes and I've said, you know, faggot in a gay rights joke, and I've said, you know, cunt and all that stuff. I mean, dude, I think I dropped the M-bomb on, like, three CDs ago.
Right.
Like, but it was never in, like, a hateful way. But then it got turned into this thing where any comic who did it is doing it from a place of hate.
Yeah, and this is why it needs to be black and white, because you go, I cannot trust, we can't trust anybody else to decipher what's going to eventually be funny.
Right.
Or how, you know, dude, I mean, there's times where I'm like, fucking, like, I'll think of a joke and I'm like, there's something so funny about this.
Yeah.
And if I said it on stage, nobody's going to laugh. It's like not even a... You have to kind of get there. And right now, they're kind of killing that creative process. They're killing the process of planting a seed, because the seeds can be ugly sometimes.
You know, Jesus.
And they should be. Yeah. I got to be honest with you, dude. I didn't fucking get into comedy because I was like, I had this great life, and I was like, I was raised in a very fucked up way. The comedy that I liked, I really connected with, like, you know, darker urban comedy that was about being really poor, being on welfare, growing up around violence, growing
Brian
up around
Regan.
Sex. You know, a lot of Gaffigan, little Todd Barry in my life.
Yeah.
No, but it was like all Def Jam, like Eddie Murphy, dude. Those two Eddie Murphy specials just spoke to me as a kid. Just being that kid on welfare with a syrup sandwich and fucking wanting a McDonald's burger, but you're eating the fucking shitty homemade burger with the grease. Dude, that shit was my fucking life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like, you know, if we were to take these brilliant comedians and these brilliant concepts and jokes and say, hey, look, well, we got to really worry about whose feelings we're going to hurt with each one of these things, you're not going to come up with this incredible stuff. And I feel like that's what's happening right now with comedy, is because now there's even guys that are, that may be ballsy comics and maybe saying shit, but they're sitting here afraid to have a real conversation and have a real opinion on things because they're so terrified about their career not even starting off.
Dude, and luckily things have picked up, but I mean, with the whole Me Too stuff, like, I mean, well, one, going to your point specifically, like, I started to self-censor my stuff.
Sorry, Bobby, hit my phone. I just want to go. We have a weed guy that's going to call me at one point.
I was self-censoring myself all the time, you know, and but now with the Me Too stuff, like, I had, when you were talking about, like, agents and managers get the stories beforehand and stuff, like, I had a manager who, like, wanted to work with me again and knew everything that happened, was like, that's stupid. This isn't even, like, an accusation and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, it's because I was, like, all self-righteous and they want to take me down. And he was like, ah, bah. And then the Louis story broke and he was like, company's on lockdown.
Yeah.
Anyone with any sort of a past, like, Like, I'm not famous enough to be a fucking liability, and a club did that too, out here, and they
since, well, they're like, just, they're afraid, they're terrified.
Yeah, well, and they're getting email, like, these lists of comedy, like, I mean, dude, Jesus Christ, I move out of New York because I didn't make it in New York, and then I moved to LA, and this happens. I feel like my audiences have swapped. Suddenly, like, New York clubs are, like, offering me spots, and, like, right. all these comics I didn't hang out with, like, anyway, but people are, I went up on this comedy club's website. Somebody, I assume, within the comedy community, like, wrote about me and apparently a couple other guys, is what the guy told me. So they're just, like, monitoring websites and trying to, like, look.
I saw a chick tweeted yesterday, you know, we're going to keep on making these lists, keep on coming up with these names, like, you know.
To you?
No, no, to me, just, like, in general. And, like, girls are sharing it. Actually, a friend of mine who's not even a comic shared it. A friend of mine, like, his wife shared it.
Yeah.
And I was going to get into a thing. I was like, guys, I was like, well, here's the problem with these lists is because if you can just put anybody's name anonymously on a list. That list that came out, the one that I got on, yeah. the one they put me on as a problematic man in comedy for being a Glazer defender. That list literally was sent around to female comedians. And this is the way it worked.
Yeah.
Anybody could add any name they wanted to and put anything they wanted. Literally anybody. When the list came to me,
right.
I could just start adding names to it.
Just a bunch of women.
How do you not look at that as being an extraordinarily irresponsible thing? How do you not look at it as, how do you not see the danger in that? We've all dated a crazy bitch. You're going to, I always say this, dude. The craziest people I've ever fucking known in my entire life were fucking women. Okay. They're all women. All the people that have punched me the hardest in the face
I've only been hit by a woman.
It's all women, dude.
I've only had a woman throw stuff at me. I literally fight
threatened my life,
fighters.
Threatened to kill my dog, yep. fucking scratch me, punch me, spit at me.
Make up shit on the internet about you?
Yes, doggy. I know. It's all fucking women. So you're going to sit there and go like, oh, well, why would a woman ever do something? I don't know. There's crazy bitches who hate me. I have like three ex-girlfriends who want me dead.
Yeah.
Who want me fucking dead. Yeah. So you're going to tell me that there's not a person in the world that, if that list just happened upon them, then go, oh yeah, I could just add this guy's name.
100% do that. And the thing that
I would do that. If I don't like a guy, I'm going to put his name on that list.
Yeah.
I'm not even a chick. Are you fucking crazy? If you don't book me at your fucking podcast, I'm going to put your name on that list.
Just the
list. You know your fucking mind?
I'm only in LA for 3 days. Book me on your goddamn podcast. Yeah. Well, that's what's so scary. And what's even scarier is, so we were talking about like Louis being conflated with Weinstein. What's even scarier is that, like, what really upsets me the most, dude, like, look, if a club doesn't want to book me and they did no research and they're just fucking scared that, like, a famous alt comic's going to tweet them, then, like, I don't give a shit about that club. That club can go fuck itself. But what scares me is, what if these, like, women comics or whoever who called the club also didn't read it and think I was fucking accused of rape? What right. happens when I show up at a show and because, you know, these liberal comedians want to, like, wave their dicks on Twitter to get, like, faves to make up for being called a sexist however many years ago, like, what if they just saw the word abuser or whatever, and these girls I'm on a fucking show with, or someone at the wait staff or the ticket booth, thinks I was actually accused of assault or a fucking rape or stalking a chick or sending right. a dick pic? Like, dude, you don't think I walk into every fucking club with, like, such shame and fear? Like, it's horrible.
I mean, do you know how many women in the world have this story about me? They're like, oh, you just had a baby. Can I see a picture of your baby? And then I give them my phone, and it's just a picture of my cock.
Yeah.
Every woman who has ever asked to see my baby
yeah.
for an entire year that he was born, right after he was born, that's the story they have.
Can you hold on? I have to Google this list so I yeah. can add your name to it again. Can you see how many times your name can get added to that list?
My point is, I am a sexual deviant, and I should be on this list.
Well, and that was what I forgot about, like, comics. Is like,
we're funny and it shouldn't fucking matter.
Well, and this goes to, like, everything. This goes to, like, the liberals being homophobic when they're watching UFC because it scares them. That has to do with, you know, every person's fucked up sexual fantasy is, like, everybody is fucked up. I don't care whether you work at McDonald's or you're a comic or you're a progressive or you're a fucking libertarian. Like, everyone has kinks. Everyone has liked someone who hasn't liked them. Everyone's made a dumbass pass on someone. Everyone
Fingered somebody in their sleep.
Fingered someone in their sleep. Everyone has had terrible relationships. You've said shitty things to your partner. You know, horrible fucking things. Everyone has cheated, thought about cheated, flirted, sent a Facebook message, they shouldn't have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What I forgot about comics, and in a weird way, yeah, it is bizarre that these, I mean, like, what I was accused of and took me down, almost cost me my life, cost me everything else, like living on a couch, like all this shit. Comics have talked about worse on stage to thunderous applause.
Right.
It's because comics have the balls to be honest about the shitty thoughts they have. And that's what's so, whereas like the rest of us just tried to hide it. You know what I mean? Whether it's because of shame or we want to like project this image to the world of being like,
it's funny you say that, like there's no other person in the world. And you know, I think people, you know, so I'm going to get a lot of my fans would be like, yeah, you guys are just sitting there sucking your own dicks about being comics. Mm-hmm. But look, here's the truth. Okay. There's not many other, I don't know any other, if I could just categorize it as a type of person, right? Yeah. Comedians are the only people in the world who, whether it's an insecurity, a fucking defect, something fucked up in their life, something bad that happens to them, they're the only people who, within minutes, are looking for something funny in it.
Oh, you have to.
Who, you know, you get cheated on. I remember just being, like, heartbroken, being cheated on. But then, like, you know, the thought entering my head, like, all right, I'll fucking, there's going to be something really funny about this one day.
Do my last girl.
And there's something, no, number one, there's something that's extraordinarily unique. But it's also extraordinarily therapeutic. I think it's also therapeutic for other people that are listening in and hearing that process, and they get to laugh at darker subject matter. And we all collectively as a society, if it's rape, murder, death, you know, destruction, whatever it is, we all kind of go through this journey and we come out of it doing something really positive, which is laughing. And it's not laughing at a victim. It's not laughing at somebody being hurt.
No.
It's literally taking a real life experience and going the same way you would sit through a movie and come out of it and formulate an opinion on that movie. Every time in that joke, it's just coming out laughing.
It's self-preservation.
Yeah.
It's literally self-preservation. I just broke up my girlfriend who was on Stanhope's.
You broke up with her?
Yeah, we had to break up. Which sucks. She was with me when all this stuff happened. Yeah. And like definitely one of the main reasons I didn't fucking kill myself. Just to have like a girl have your back. But she was really jealous, and she was like the first girl I think who like she like threw stuff at me and like it just got so toxic. And we fucked once. I left for an hour to go do an interview. I came home an hour later, and she starts going down on me, and then like looks like fucking angry. And I couldn't like figure out why she looks like angry.
She forgot that it was her pussy on you?
She got jealous of her own pussy. She 100% forgot. And I had to like literally stop her from sucking my dick and be like, you know, it's your pussy, right?
It's your pussy, yeah. Oh.
And like, it was so that level, right?
I've had girls smell my dick. I've had a couple girls that I dated that like,
have
let
you?
Me smell your dick.
Okay, I thought this was the...
No. Like, yeah. But you know, here's the thing. The truth of the matter is, they were probably cheating or I was cheating. They were probably right. All that intuition.
Yeah.
They're always right.
Dude, this girl was...
I'm thinking all the chicks that used to like... freak out on me.
Yeah.
And then I used to freak out back and I used to get really jealous and I was like, dude, I was cheating.
Yeah.
And I was getting jealous.
That's why
back
you're jealous. Yeah. Yeah. Where were you? I was out with my friend. That's what I would have said when I was fucking that other girl.
But it's like, they don't know. It's almost like the same mentality. Like if you're walking down the street with like a chick that you're not dating and some guy catcalls her and you're like, you're not even dating her, but you still kind of have to fight that guy because you don't know, motherfucker. You don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like, how does she know that I wasn't actually at my friend's house?
Yeah.
You almost get mad at her for not trusting you.
100%. And like, so I finally get out of this relationship, but it was hard to get out of it because like she really did have my back during this. She's gorgeous. And I was like, I don't want to date anything. I want to fucking go on Tinder after that shit. Like, thank God I wasn't accused of it. Like, this almost made me kill myself.
Right.
Like being accused of like dating and like, so she just recently, so I broke up and it was so hard. It was one of the hardest breakups I've ever had. And she reached out the other day to get back with me, not then like apologize for everything. And my first thought was, I'm like, I have 10 new minutes of material in this breakup.
Yep,
and like, it's really good. And I don't want to get rid of it. And like, I think that's the only thing that's stopping me from going back to a toxic relationship.
Yeah. And it's look, here's the thing. It's not like, I'm not saying that that makes any, you know, comedians a better person than somebody else. I'm just saying it is kind of a unique quality that we are looking for. Just anytime something is negative or fucked up, or we're just always kind of looking for that positive thing.
Dude, can you imagine if more people did that? Like, maybe I will like suck our dicks for a bit. Like, if everyone did that, because what are the other options?
This is what I'm saying. When you go to a comedy club, you watch it. You can live vicariously through that experience as well. And this is why I think you need edgier and dirtier and ballsier comedy.
Well, that is like, and again, I was part of this, so I'm not trying to like be like, hey, let's forget about all the stuff I said a couple of years ago. But like now being in this conversation where it's like looking for the joke. Like most people go around all day just looking to be pissed off, right? Mm-hmm. And like looking for like everything like negative and how everything's like fucking them over and whatever. If those people instead were like trying to like laugh, like the most beautiful emotion, you know what I mean? Like right. It would probably be better, yet we get so much shit and I gave out so much shit for just trying to make people laugh, which is like happy. You're trying to make people happy. Right. Like that shouldn't be a bad thing.
We got to wrap up here in just a second. But I'm going to close on this, Aziz thing. You know, I'm going to probably talk about it a lot more on the Wednesday show as well, because we didn't really break down the actual story as much. What do you think? Did you read the whole story?
I read it late last night.
Okay.
And
what do you think? As a person who you still consider yourself a liberal, you still, you know, you definitely, I'm assuming you still consider yourself a feminist. I consider myself a feminist, so I'm assuming you must consider yourself a feminist.
Yeah, I mean, not by the
sexy, you know, fucking exojane.com definition, but by the purest definition, like, which is that you believe that women and men should be completely equal.
We should be treated equal. Yes, yeah, of course. That's a low fucking bar, and yeah, totally. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, when all this shit happened, there was part of me that wanted to be like, gotta fucking shut down these Planned Parenthoods, and like, I was just like, livid.
Yeah.
But I actually think for women and for men, like, right now it's sort of this, I mean, this is getting nuts. Like, I said this on Rogan's show when I literally spent however many years, like, you know, writing like #believeallwomen, #believeallwomen. And then like you start to read this shit or you see stuff written about yourself and you're just like, #don't believe women. Like you just freak the fuck out. And this is, I mean, again, what I'll, like if it were, I haven't even talked about this really with friends. So this is not the time to be like inarticulate with it, but like it's, should not be called fucking sexual mis-. Like when you look up Aziz, just like when you fucking look up me, like the word sexual misconduct, like that sounds like you fucking raped someone.
Yep.
And that's what's getting so fucking scary.
And to be honest with you, here's what he did, right? Look, he may have fucked up in misreading the scenario. And, you know,
it people, very much sounded like have, he was used to that, like, this is like he's used to
a girl just sucking his dick and fucking
and wanting to fuck.
He's a celebrity. Then, what do you want to say? He fucked her the way that he fucks chicks usually, right? And I don't
like
think
like
moves
that faster. It's like it's like a factory line.
My
of
ex
like,
used to fucking one of my chicks that I dated used to finger my. I just think it was weird. She used to really get into that, dude. She's like putting her fingers on my mouth.
Yeah,
I used to gross me out because I think people's fucking fingers are gross. You're touching subway platforms and shit.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
gross.
Yeah.
But she would get into that. I never was like, oh, this fucking aggressive deviant. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
you're not at #MeTooing her right now.
But the reality is like, no, you have these uncomfortable sexual experiences. You're 22 years old. You're going to have them, dude. You're in order to figure out what you really like sexually, you have to kind of figure out what you don't like sexually sometimes too. I didn't know that I didn't like two fingers in my butt until somebody put two fingers in my butt.
And you're like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm back.
And it was uncomfortable.
I'm a one
and I felt
guy.
Bad about myself
yeah.
and I was in physical pain
yeah.
and I was embarrassed and
yeah.
I didn't want to talk to anybody about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She didn't ask either, yeah. you know, but the reality is it was just another bump in the road of being a sexual adult, being a person exploring my sexuality.
Right.
So, you know, it's like Aziz, I feel like he apologized to her. He did what he's supposed to do in the sense that she said, hey, you made me feel uncomfortable. Well, and what he wrote in the text was, hey, you know what? I really misread that. I that was not my intention at all. And I'm truly sorry.
And now that's fucking biting him in the ass. Just even having that text. And like,
well, that should be enough, dude. It shouldn't be a fucking apology to women or society it should be an apology to the person that you misread. If me and Bobby are fucking around and I accidentally elbow him in the fucking jaw, I don't have to now go and apologize to every man on earth because I hurt Bobby. It's right. as simple as that, dude. It's just one fucking dude. I misjudged. We were slap boxing and I fucking hit him.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let's move the fuck on.
Now, if somebody puts two fingers up your ass after hearing this podcast, it's like, well, you were warned. He knew he was a one finger fella. He also did the right thing. I mean, look, I would have fucking, after that, just because I'm so self-conscious, after the first, like, I'm not into this, I would have been like, I misread the situation. Mm. And then probably I would have upped the Uber, like, right then. But, like, he did keep, like, it sounded like, so if you guys didn't read, I mean, I guess they would have read the article by now, but she approached him when she was with a date, which is like kind of shitty. She approached him and...
But you think the date's going like, I'm so glad Aziz raped this bitch.
Like, oh God. What if that guy, like, he has had like a fucking bag filled of like pills and stuff and was just like, oh, Aziz just did that. Like, I was definitely going to go to jail. I didn't know she had friends at babe.com. Yeah. But fucking... And then they were hooking up, and before she started to get uncomfortable, I think they both went down on each other for a little bit.
Yeah.
And again, it, like, just to be clear, so another fucking anti-feminist article that won't be tweeted by, like, a girl during sex can say no, and then you stop, right?
Of course.
Like, the second that's laid out, like, you stop. I don't suddenly, like, not believe that. I don't want anything to be, like, conflated here. But, like, so they were going down on each other, and then she started to get uncomfortable, and it seemed like every time she started to get uncomfortable, he stopped and, like, put his clothes back on.
And then he went for it again. I'm sorry, dude. We've all been the guy with full balls, and you're making out again. And then she's, like, seems to be into it again. And then she's like, oh, wait, no. We've all been here.
And then the second she says no, you stop. And then if stuff starts happening again, you go,
The first time I hooked up with my son's mother, we were in a fucking cab. She didn't want to hook up in a cab. She thought it was, she was like, no, there's a cab driver. She was like, oh, no, we shouldn't do this. She loved it, though. Let's not get this shit fucking twisted. I'm just not you. They only have tape on me saying fucked up shit, right? Here's the truth.
Yeah.
She fucking loved it.
Yeah.
She loved it. She was saying the words and giving me the nonverbal and verbal cues that she didn't want to hook up in a cab.
Yeah.
She loved it. We had a kid together.
Yeah.
We fucking, like, it's like, let's get real. Like, let's not pretend that people sometimes won't say no when they really want to. And that sometimes it doesn't make it hotter in the moment in saying no. Me and my chick now, recently we were hooking up and it was just like kind of hot for her to say no, that she didn't want to have sex. And that was kind of getting it, the heat, and it was like an hour. And it was like, finally we had sex and it was like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was part of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, shouldn't we be trusting adult women with their own sexuality? Shouldn't we be trusting adult women to you know, I almost feel like it's very anti-feminist and it's almost going backwards and treating women like they're second class citizens.
Yeah, I wish
to not put any responsibility on them in those situations. It's not victim blaming. I don't know what the fuck happened with this girl. I wasn't there, but I'm just telling you, it needs to not be as simple as like, this guy's a fucking rapist. His career needs to be ruined. This girl's a fucking hero for coming out and saying something. You're like, come on now.
Yeah, and I remember, like, I wish I remember it. Like, I've butchered this quote, but Norton said that to me when I was talking about that thing that was written about me where she goes, he charmed me back to his hotel room. And it's like, yeah, we were both charming each other. That's what, like, you do on dates. And Norton said something like that about feminists. Like, don't you want, like, autonomy, like, you know what I mean? Like, where it's like, you went up to
I don't know, it's nuanced. There's certain people, dude, every fucking person is different, okay? There are some women, they want a door to be held open for them, and they want you to fucking lay your jacket down over a puddle as they go.
Get so fucking mad at you if you do that.
Yeah, dude. And then some women want to fist your asshole.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fucking spectrum of human beings, and one woman is not right and one woman is not wrong.
No,
not everybody needs to fit into one specific
category. And that's also true feminism, right? Like,
right.
That's like the whole, like, sex worker versus, like, sex work is very feminist because you have the right to do with your own body versus sex work, isn't feminist, is demeaning to women and blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, letting the sex worker lady decide is feminism,
right?
It's like, it's her. She gets to do whatever the fuck she wants. And, but yeah, man, I just, like, I don't, it's hard. I was thinking about this before I got here. I'm like, what would, if none of this shit happened to me, what would I have thought when I read the Aziz article? And, like, I think I would have been like, this is insane.
Yeah.
It's fucking, it's just the bar keeps getting moved lower and lower and lower. And by the way.
So I feel, by the way, the it's almost identical to TJ Miller, the scenario. What TJ did, I think what TJ did, you know, I guess was a little bit more fucked up, only because it seemed to be more of a violent act. But to be honest with you, I look at it morally really the same. It's not even more fucked up. It was young people exploring their sexuality, and they were given consent to have sex, and they were all in, they were adults who all came to the fucking party, you know, and nobody crossed a line where there stopped being consent and they kept on going. And that's where it's a crime, and that's where it's really wrong. And I think, you know, you read the TJ thing and some of the things with the bottle and him like punching her, and like, and then you step back and go, all right, well, wait a minute, time out. There are women who like to be punched during sex. There are women who like to be fucked with bottles. I know women who like to be punched and fucked with bottles, because I've fucked women who said, punch me. I've had women say, take this and put it into my pussy. Yeah. And I don't, by the way, do any of that shit.
Right.
And it's because I am terrified. If a girl ever, I won't even fuck my girlfriend, my current girlfriend, if she's drunk. Currently, she's my girlfriend.
Yeah.
If she has more than two or three drinks, I won't have sex.
What if you guys are both like three drinks in?
I don't drink.
Oh, you don't drink?
I don't drink.
That's right.
So it's a little bit easier, I guess, now, you know, but I don't drink. So I guess, but yeah, I won't do it.
Oh, I did that. I've straight up talked girls. I was going to say this on one of the first shows, like either Joe or Doug's. But like my friend was like, it actually makes you sound creepier. But like, I just fucking stand by it. Where I was like, when this first happened, I literally wanted to be like, do you know how many women I have talked out of fucking me?
No, of course.
Like legitimately on the road being like, you don't want to do this. I talked a stripper out of it. Well, I was like, you don't want to do this.
Right.
Like, I'm a mess. You have a fucking boyfriend. Or like, and again, not like, but yeah, it's really fucking scary how, you know, the fucked up moves or consensual dating, or again, if the woman says no, you're done, right? If like you say you're gonna put on a condom and you like, if there's like that kind of shit, like all very, very bad. But like, this should not be equated. Like on the list, it's gonna be Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, and then fucking Louis
and Aziz and all these. Like, it's crazy.
Or it's like, and it's like, we've all had bad relationships. And dude, I mean, you even looked at some of the Me Too's. And you're like, it just seemed like you'd hear like these horrendous stories of like rape and predatory behavior, and then someone would be like, yeah, and like I got hit on waitressing, and you're just like, God, you're just like jumping at the bit I need a Me Too.
I can spend another hour, because we do have to wrap. Oh, yeah. I will spend another hour talking about the horse shit that all that is anyway. Oh. Like, I can't, like, I just don't feel bad for an actress that sucked some dick and is now a millionaire, and like, that was her big mishap in life. Bitch, my mother was raped when she was 11 with an axe.
Jesus.
Let me explain to you something,
okay? Yeah, she didn't get stage time from that.
Like, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to sit here and just like the most elite of the most elite of the world, the most privileged of people in the world are going to sit there and go like, me too. Look how bad it is for me. Just shut the fuck up. If you want to do something feminist, if you want to do something young people, go start talking about the fucking little girls that are being raped in the hood every fucking day.
No.
Go talk about, you know, the amount of people that are being sexually assaulted by their fucking, you know, that aren't famous actresses, don't have millions of dollars. Go talk about those stories, because those are the people who really need help.
Yeah.
Truthfully, not the people who decided to suck a dick one day and now we're going, you know what? I shouldn't have sucked that dick. But they're still counting their fucking money, and they're still going to their personal trainers. They still have fucking movie careers. They still have everything. Go fuck yourself. Anyway, I got to go. Jamie, listen, thank you so much. Real-ass podcast.
Oh, I'm going to have a podcast. Well, I'm going to have a podcast now, too. It's called Raped in the Hood. It's called Fuck Up Pod, and I'm back on Twitter if you can follow me. And I just started Instagram for
can
that.
I saw it's Fuck Up Pod. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Nick Mullen. You're going to run into real problems.
With the title?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it was such a pain in the ass to get on iTunes.
I'm telling you, if your sponsorship is the way you're trying to go.
No.
Okay. If it's something that, because you're going to say it's not,
yeah,
and then you're going to get the numbers where you're going to want sponsors.
Yeah.
You get 30,000, 40,000 downloads on your podcast, and it's the difference between you paying all of your bills off of podcast sponsors or not.
Yeah. Let the record show, when my girlfriend and I broke up and I realized I would be living on a couch for a little while, I did text you and I was like, I need podcast advice, and I didn't hear back from you.
Well, look.
All right, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, we should talk. I'm just telling you, Mullen, you know, the Legion of Skanks, dude, we have real issues with the name, the word skank being in the name.
Yeah.
Just the word skank. And it's not the content. It's just the title.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and it's way too late now, and it's a cool thing.
Couldn't Nick, like, when he sends it to sponsors, like, we go, like, come to our town, and the logo is just, like, a bunch of houses and, like, little white.
Yeah, dude, it's a real problem. Look, they get sponsors. You know, we just worked out a deal with another sponsor for them, specifically Legion of Skanks sponsors. But we, at Gas Digital, what we do at our podcast network, we have an in-house ad sales guy that not only sells advertising, but also manages all of the relationships with their third-party advertising agencies, and it's a big pain in the ass.
Got that shit up on iTunes. All right, tell me if it's worth.
You can change the name on iTunes, like that.
Oh, okay. So I can still keep the same.
RSS feed is the same shit. Oh, doesn't matter.
You have to change like the slug and stuff, but like they can do that.
Nice and easy.
All right, great.
Yeah, talk to Bobby. You can do that, right? You can change the name of the pod on iTunes pretty easily, right? Yep.
All right. God damn it. Oh, yeah. I did that with Citizen Radio.
Easily.
I did that with Citizen Radio. Oh, my God. Yeah. Citizen Radio used to be called Drunken Politics back when we were fun.
Yeah.
And then, like, when that stopped, we were like, I guess we should change the name.
Kept the subscribers. Didn't change it.
Totally.
You can do it. I'm just telling you only, and I saw you have the Instagram. It's just a little bit. I'll give a little piece of podcasting advice to the people that are listening to the show. It's stupid. It shouldn't fucking matter. It just does. And if you want to make money off your podcast, you know, a rose by any other name still smells as sweet, right? Who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter if you call it the Fucked Up Pod or Jamie Kelsey's whatever experience.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same show. So that would be my advice. But thank you so much for joining me, Jamie.
No, this is great. I'm sorry I have most of you guys blocked.
Just figure it out, dude. See what you can do. Is there
if people want to follow me, you have to tweet to me and Lewis. I will see Lewis respond because I only get mentions from people I follow, so I don't fucking kill myself.
There we go.
And then I will follow you or unblock you.
Love it. All right. Well, Jamie, thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks, man.
Let me see. Do I have anything coming up on the road? Yeah, March 23rd, 24th, I will be with Dave Smith at Nick's Comedy Stop in Boston. Tickets are available at nickscomedystop.com. It's a great club. And we're back in Los Angeles. Literally that next week, Legion of Skanks all together are going to be in LA at the Comedy Store Wednesday, the 28th, and Thursday, the 29th. Wednesday is going to be the podcast. 29th is going to be a live stand-up show, Legion of Skanks and Friends. So look out for tickets for all of those shows. GomezComedy.com, Gomez Comedy on Instagram. Also, if you guys want to come and check out the Roastmasters, we do it every Tuesday night at the Stand. If you guys want to come for free, use the promo code RAP when you go to thestandnyc.com. Get free tickets. Check it out. New York City's best roast battlers going head-to-head every single week with myself and Big J there every week as well. If you love this show, you want to support us, you should know that we have over 230 episodes available on demand in HD video whenever you guys want them. It's not just the latest 10 on iTunes that you're listening to right now. It's not just the live show that you get on Gas Digital Network. We have over 230 episodes, over 500 hours of podcasts for you to listen to. That's just the Real Ass Podcast, plus 16 other shows on the network. $6 a month gets you all the podcasts on demand whenever you want them. Video versions of the show 5 days early before they go to iTunes. Ad-free. What else, Bobby? What are the other benefits? The message board, the live chat. 14-day free trial. Use the promo code RAP. Get a 14-day free trial. You save $1 per month. It's just $6 per month. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give them a little bit of a secret. Guys, we're going to be raising the price soon. Okay, we're raising the price for it. Don't look at me like that, Bobby. I don't give a fuck. I'll say whatever the fuck. It's my company. I'll say whatever the fuck I want to say. All right, bitch. We're raising the price by $1 soon. Not for the existing subscribers, though. We're not a piece of shit. We would never just fuck you in the ass like that. We're not scumbags, okay? If you're subscribed right now, okay, you get the $6 per month, okay? But you got to subscribe. Go subscribe now because we're going to raise it up another $1 per month. So with the promo code, it's going to be $7. Make sure you do it now because starting, I believe, in February or March, we're going to be raising that price $1. So, well, it's my fans, Bobby. I give them the jump. I give them the jump, bitch. All right, that's it. Much love. We will check you guys Wednesday. Real Ass Podcast. Peace.